Life is good, isn't it? Life is good, praise the Lord. Especially when you know Jesus.
Amen.
You know, wow, you don't know how good life can be till you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Wow, that's where you really, wow, become a child of God. Man, man. That reminds me to tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. And you know what that was? Amen. That's right. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, never has there been a day better than that day when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Life has never been better. It can't be any better. I mean, if there's anything on this earth, anything that I don't want to miss, it's going through this life and missing knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Is all of you Christians in agreement with me with that? I see Karen up here shaking her head. Now I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you in here really do know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Okay, praise the Lord. Now let me ask another question. How many of you that held up your hand are sorry that you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Not one single hand. My goodness. So there must be something to this knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. None of us as Christians want to go back the other day, do we, Karen? Not any of us. We want to walk on the side with Jesus, and we want everybody we meet to know how wonderful Jesus is. Is that right?
Yes.
We want to tell them when we run into people this week, wherever we are, whether we're at the store or whether we're in an elevator or whether we're walking out riding a bike or whatever we're doing, when we come up to somebody, don't just start up a conversation about nothing, you know, about the weather or what happened this week or who won the football game or whatever. Talk to them about the most important thing in your life, and that's Jesus Christ. Talk to them about Jesus. Everybody needs to know about Jesus. Because, you know, those of us that are Christians, we know what Dave was talking about a while ago. We have eternity all together, and we're going to get to spend not only this time here on this earth with the Lord Jesus Christ, but when we die, that's when life really begins. I mean, we get to go to heaven to be with Jesus. We get to walk on streets of gold.
Amen.
Isn't that awesome? But here, while we're on this earth, if we know and we read His Word, our salvation includes a lot of good things like healing and health and, you know, prosperity. It includes all kinds of good things. And the average person doesn't know about this. Because the Lord said in His Word, to him that reads my words and finds my words and obeys my words, He said it will bring radiant health to all your flesh and long life to you. Well, what's everybody looking for? Hey, that's what I'm looking for. Radiant health, long life, and prosperity. And then when I die, I don't want to wake up on the other side like that movie we saw the other night called Escape from Hell, where this guy died and woke up in this flaming fire. And he's going to spend eternity in this lake of fire. I don't want that to happen to nobody, do you? So that's why I do what I do. That's why I preach the gospel. That's why I talk about Jesus to everybody, because I don't want to see a single person on this earth. I don't care who you are. I don't want to see you miss the best thing that there is on this earth, and that's knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now then, there's a little note here I've got. I can't remember all these numbers. So one more time, like I said, for a few Sundays, so that it'll be on tape so people will see it when it goes out, on tape of the month or whatever. Well, we are now live, this service today, we started a few weeks ago, our service is being broadcast live on the internet. So right now we're on the internet. You can go to tlsm.org, regardless of where you are in the world, anywhere in the world that the internet is there, you can click on our home page that says Listen Live in the upper left-hand corner. When it says Listen Live, you click on that, it immediately takes you right to this program, which you could be hearing it right now on your internet, on your speakers, on your internet. You don't have to know any numbers at all. You just go to tlsm.org and click on Listen Live, and on Sundays, from 2 o'clock to 4:30, we're going to be live. You'll be able to hear the entire service, the music and everything. And then on the second Saturday of every month, from about 12:30 or 1 until 5:30, you'll be able to hear the healing schools. Now then, in case you miss them, You can, well, first of all, on the internet, you don't have to do anything except just go to listen live on the TLSM, and there we are. But if you want to listen to it on your cell phone driving down the road in your car, you've got to have a phone number. Or if you want to listen to it over your handset at home or your speakerphone at home, you can listen on your telephone at home on Sunday afternoon, 2 to 4:30, and the second Saturday of every month from 1:30 till, or 1 o'clock, I mean, till about 5:30. This is the phone number that you will need. The phone number is 712-432-1212. Now, when you dial that 712-432-1212, it will ask you for your ID code. Your ID code is 409-710-740 followed by the pound sign. So one more time, your ID code is 409-710-740 followed by the pound sign, and it will take you on your telephone, either your cellular phone or your home phone. It will take you right straight to this service that is on the air from 2 o'clock to 4:30 or 1 o'clock to 5:30 on the second Saturday of every month. In case you missed one of the services and you wanted to go back and listen to it later, maybe like next week or week after next or whatever, you can dial that same number with one number difference. Now that 712-432-1212 was the number you listened live. If you want to go to the archive to listen to it, the last number is a 9. So you dial the 712-432-1219, and it will ask you which service. You just follow the instructions then, and it'll ask you which service you want to listen to, because they will keep them all recorded for up to 6 months. So you can listen to any of our services for 6 months if you miss them. And we've had lots of people call us and say, we would love to be able to listen live to your services. Well, I didn't know we could do that until this lovely young lady right over here, sitting over here, Mike's wife, she mentioned something about freeconferencecall.com today. Well, that started it, just one little word. And so Dave went through with it, and now we're on. It's amazing. You never know what you're going to say, Gracie, how it's going to affect everybody, you know? Who knows? See, so literally that word that you said to whoever, Dave or whoever you said it to that day, could wind up changing millions of people. Isn't that something? Just think of the people that could hear this. Yes, praise God. That's what I say. So who's in charge of all of this? The Lord. I mean, after all, He's God. You know, we don't have no, we have, if we could just get rid of our unbelief. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about unbelief, because, you know, there's so many people that live in unbelief. I mean, everybody that's lost, that doesn't know Jesus, is living in unbelief. They don't know it. They don't know they've missed the greatest thing on earth. I mean, I didn't know it, you know, I mean, until I got saved. I mean, I didn't know it was the best thing it ever was. But once I got saved, and when I got saved, I still didn't know what I had. Had no clue what I had. I just knew that I had a calling of the Holy Spirit to get saved, but I didn't realize what I had. Now, if a week or two or three after I was 11 years old and I accepted Jesus in that little country church, that little Baptist church in Cross Plains, Texas, when I was 11 years old, if you'd asked me a week or a month or even 6 months later, how did it change your life to become a Christian? Well, I was raised up in a good Christian home. I had a good Christian mom and dad, you know, and so I went to school and everything, and I didn't see any difference. You know, I didn't really see a difference. I mean, that's the way it should be for every human being, you know. If we raise our children up loving Jesus from day one, when they get saved, there will be very little difference in their life, because they're already living in a godly home with a godly mother and father that's teaching them the principles of the kingdom. And if they really got a real mom and dad, you know, that really believes, in fact, I'll just tell you, this is something that most people have no knowledge of, even Christians live in such unbelief, but I'll tell you the faith that Dave and his family walks in. The other day, I think it was last week on the holiday, they wanted to go out to the lake and the kids wanted to go swimming. Nice, beautiful, warm, hot day. So they jumped in the pickup and the travel trailer or whatever, and they go out to the lake, and when they get up there, there's a big sign right there that says, "Warning, beware crocodiles." Well, the average Christian would say, "Well, no, hey, my kids ain't going in that water. You know, they ain't going in that water. If there's crocodiles in there, forget it. I ain't going in there." But you know, you don't know your authority. But Dave, he knows his authority, so he just gets all the kids out there and says, "Now look, kids, this sign says crocodiles, but the Word of God says we have dominion over the crocodiles." Amen. Now see, we really don't believe that. We read that, but we really don't believe that. So Dave stood there on the edge of the water and commanded any crocodile that would even come close, he could not come closer than 100 yards to the shore. He would have to stay out there at least 100 yards. "I will not allow any crocodile to come in this area because me and my family come to the lake to swim today and we have dominion over these critters." Amen. Now, isn't that amazing? Amen. So guess what them and the kids did? They went swimming. They swam all afternoon. They had a good time. Never saw a crocodile. Not one single crocodile. But you know, the thing about it is, most people, well, I mean, even Christian people say, "You know, that sign says crocodiles, forget it, I ain't going in there." You know, I will even tell you that even myself, when I, first time I went to the Florida Everglades, I went back in there to see, you know, the Everglades, and so we drove back in there, and we were sitting there, and there was a stream there, and a kind of a little bridge or whatever you call it there between two areas of water and land. And it probably wasn't but 2 feet deep, but it was clear as a crystal. I mean, just as clear. You could see the bottom. You could see the little fish swimming around in there and everything. So we all, me and my family, we sat down there on the edge of that bridge and dropped our feet off into the water, you know, and water's cool and everything. And I didn't realize, now I'd been a Christian a long time. You know, I was already a grown man, had a family, everything. And I went to church. I'd been serving as a deacon. But the church I went to didn't teach me these principles. So I didn't get it. So we're sitting there, and all of a sudden I look up, and I don't know whether it's a crocodile or an alligator, but of course to me they all look the same, but he was about this long, and he was swimming right toward us in the water. Well, as soon as I saw him, guess what I did? I jumped out of the water. I was a normal Christian back in those days. I didn't know and realize that I had dominion and authority over that critter. So since he was coming toward me, I just told my wife and my children, "Kids, and just get out of the water. You know, we're not going to walk around here in this water. Two or three. It looked like it's 2 or 3 feet deep. It might have been a lot deeper. I don't know. But when I saw that little alligator crocodile walking across there, I mean, I jumped out of the water. I did the same thing that nearly every normal Christian would do. I wasn't where Dave is in his walk of faith. But when you get the walk of faith, I mean, that's just like whenever a disease or anything tries to attack in the area. Dave always takes his family and he takes them to Psalms 91. And they always read Psalms 91 because that psalm guarantees you that no plague and no sickness can come near your house if you're walking in obedience to God's word. And so when you know that, that's just like when Jesus said, "To those that finds my words and believes them." That makes a big difference, doesn't it, Charlie? You got to know. And you got to know they're in there. See, Charlie's just like me. He didn't know these words were in there until just a few years ago. He was a normal boy. He had no clue who he was and what he could do in the name of Jesus. But he's learning. And so all of us, as we learn, we realize that the best thing that ever happened to us is when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When we accepted Him as Lord and Savior, all these things become ours. Now, we're going to talk about some of these things that Jesus, as Jesus was here on the earth, He was the teacher that showed us who He was and who we are and what we could do in His name. And most people, they don't even believe it. I mean, it's just amazing. But anyway, let's go to Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20 to start off with. And I want to see, if you think we're bad at unbelieving, after all, the disciples and the apostles, Did they have first-hand experience with the Master? I mean, did they walk with Him, Jack?
Yes, they did.
Did they talk with Him?
Yes, they did.
They ate with Him?
Yes.
So they had first-hand experience, didn't they? Just like you and me have had. You know, you and I have been in cars together. We've been out looking at equipment together. We've eaten together. We've done all kinds of things together. So I know you're a real man, Jack, because I've been intimate with you, you know, in lots of places. We go places and we shake hands together on Sunday. So you can't get no more intimate than shaking hands on Sunday, can we?
No,
that's as intimate as you can get. You know, so I know Jack's real, you know. And so I know Jesus knew these boys were real. But when we get to this scripture, Mark 16, start with verse 9, let's see what he says. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils or demons. Now, this woman, she really loved Jesus because she was all bound up with these demons and they were ruining her life, and Jesus delivered her from seven devils. Now, she was very appreciative of this. She's grateful. But, you know, when any time you run into a human being that has devils or demons, and we run into them out here every once in a while, not too often, but every once in a while we do. But when we do, we know we have power and authority over those things. We do not have to yield to those devils. Well, Mary, she was so glad that she had been delivered. She was one of the lucky ones. She got to see Jesus first. Verse 10. Let's see what he says in verse 10. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. Wonder what they're doing that for. I mean, what had happened? Oh, he died. He's crucified. So that's a good enough reason to mourn and weep, isn't it? You've lost somebody. In other words, everybody in here probably, if I were just to get down personal with you, everybody in here has had some kind of a loss from a person. Is that right? We've all either lost a child or a mate or an aunt or an uncle or a grandmother, grandfather, somebody, because death is just something that happens. I mean, just like, what was that woman's name that died this week? Joan Rivers or something like that? You know, here she was, 81 years old, you know, and went to the hospital for some kind of little out surgery, something or whatever it was, and wound up, they give her something wrong or whatever, and it wound up killing her. 81 years old, she died. You know, well, I mean, I'm sure her family will mourn and weep for her a little bit because she's gone. I hope she was a Christian. I don't know that because I didn't know that woman personally. I've never had the opportunity to sit down and talk with her personally. But all of you know that if I've had many minutes to sit down and talk with you, it ain't gonna be long till I'm gonna find out are you a born again Christian, is that right? And that's what you and me should do to everybody else we talk to, right? Because we don't want nobody to die. Can you imagine that woman with the beauty of everything she had on this earth and living in the penthouses and all kinds of stuff and a movie star, well-known movie star, and had lots of money and everything. A beautiful, gorgeous woman, no doubt about that. I mean, I used to see her in movies, you know, when I used to go to movies. Hardly ever go to one no more. But can you imagine a person having what she had on this earth and then dying without Jesus Christ? And the next thing, Jack, where does she go? To this place of lake of fire? Of torment and suffering? Now, we don't want that on nobody, do we? And there's no end to it. And it lasts forever. I mean, that's why I hope that that woman knew Jesus as her Lord and Savior. Oh, how I hope that she did. But I hope everybody does. Verse 11. Let's see what it says after verse 11. And it says, and they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, oh, they were so happy and they believed. Now, you would think that's what they would have done, wouldn't you? I mean, if you lost a loved one, I mean, you know, if yesterday or day before yesterday or something, a good friend of yours got killed and you knew they were dead, you knew, somebody told you, I mean, Thurman got killed in a car wreck last night. Didn't you know about it? And when you come to church today, here he is. He's still standing here. I thought you got killed in a car wreck. I said, well, where'd you hear that? Well, was you in a car wreck? Yeah, I was in a car wreck. But Jesus raised me from the dead, so here I am. You know, but you know what most people would say? No, you wasn't in a car wreck. I don't believe that. Is that right, Tony? I mean, we don't believe that somebody can be raised from the dead, do we? When Jesus told us, We could, these signs would follow us. We could raise somebody from the dead. Why do you think we never are able to raise nobody from the dead? Because we don't believe it. I mean, I guarantee you, we don't believe these promises. But just like this one. And these are the disciples, the apostles. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of Mary, they believed not. You're crazy. I saw him die. He ain't no way could be alive again. It couldn't happen. That's the way we think. We think that it's impossible for somebody to come back to life. But what's impossible with God? Nothing. We need to get that in our spirit. I mean, see, just like Caitlin, my granddaughter, if you've never experienced something like that, and I hope you never have, I hope you never do, but if they call you and tell you your wife and your daughter's dead, and your granddaughter and this other little girl, like her granddaughter, is in Cook's Medical Center, and when you get over there, her little head's twice its size, and three of the best doctors in Cook's Medical Center walk up to you and say, "I'm sorry, sir, but when we remove the life support, your granddaughter will decease." I said, "What's wrong with her?" Of course, I could see her head twice its size, blood coming out of her nose, ears, eyes, mouth, everywhere. I could see blood flowing out of her everywhere. Had those little cotton deals in her mouth, you know, a little blood that was all bloody. What other's wrong with her besides what I can see? He said, "Well, the number one problem is her brain stem is severed." Okay, now how many of you know what happens when your brain stem severed? You know, everything in your body operates. Jack is a doctor. So what happens when the brain stem's severed, Jack?
First thing is you can't breathe.
Oh, first thing you can't breathe.
You don't last long.
Yeah. So coming from a doctor, your body don't work well without a brain stem, does it, Jack? Not at all. Okay, so that's what those doctors told me, that her brain stem was severed. Her skull was crushed in five places. Her eyes were disconnected from her brain. Every organ in her body was damaged. Her right knee was crushed and her left leg broken right below her knee and right above her ankle. And when we remove the life support, she will decease. And I said, "No." I said, "I'm a child of God." Now see, if this had happened a few years earlier when I didn't know these promises, guess what? My granddaughter would be in heaven today. But because I knew these promises, I'm going to go to that one promise that I use so much, John 15:7. I want to show you, since I knew that, and then we'll come back here to verse 11 in Mark 16. Look what this says, John 15:7. This just goes to show right here that most of us as Christians do not believe, or we're not walking with God. It says, "If you abide in me." Now there's the big thing. If I abide in him, what does it mean to abide in him?
Live there.
Live there. Be there in the word. Really love and worship him all the time. Right, Jack? That's abiding in the master. Now then, if we don't abide in the master, then the rest of this won't work for you. You know, it's kind of like a man and a woman that's married. You know, if they never abide in each other, they don't ever have any intimate, you know, relationship. You know, the husband never pats her or loves her or talks to her. Just once in a while he walks by and says, "Hey, girl, how you doing?" That's it. Or she walks in, you know, with her pretty dress on, does this, you know, and you're thinking, "What's wrong with you, woman? You just said the wrong thing." I'll tell you what she wants. She wants you to say, "Wow, are you gorgeous this morning? You're beautiful this morning." It's just like the other day, I was back here in the kitchen, we were having something to eat, and Kelly walked in, and Sharon was already back here having something to eat at lunchtime. And I said, "You know, last night we were out doing some things. Cheryl said she really thought she would like to have some fried chicken." So I said, "Okay, I'll take her to the fried chicken place," and I bought her some fried chicken. And I said, after we both ate that fried chicken, I said, "It was really good." I said, when we got outside, she said, "Wow." She sat down in the car, she said, "I really feel much better now that I've had that chicken to eat." And I said, "Well, woman, you don't look any better." Now see, every one of y'all thought negative. Every one of y'all bought that thing hook, line, and sinker. Now, what do you think's coming out next? I can tell by the way y'all did that. You all thought I'm going to say, "Well, you don't look any better." But Gracie, I told her, I said, "You were beautiful before we went in there, and you're beautiful after we come out." You see what I mean? See, every one of y'all, I mean, everybody that did, oh, you thought, well, fixing to say she's not beautiful anymore. I can see. Jason, you take lessons on here, son. Because, see, when you say that, then you better be ready to say, you were gorgeous before we went in there, and you're gorgeous after we came out. That's what she wanted to hear, right? And that's what she heard. But why do we think negative? Do y'all see why I did what I did? I wanted to prove to y'all that we think negative. We are trained to think negative. I mean, the world. I mean, the minute I said, well, you don't look any better, everybody thought, well, how dare him say something like that? How could she look better if she was gorgeous before? Is that right? I mean, if she's a gorgeous girl before I went in there and she's a gorgeous girl when I come, how could she be any better? You see what I mean? I will have to say, when I first looked at Cheryl and said, well, you don't look any better. Well, she kind of, you know, I said, honey, you were beautiful before we went in there. And that began to melt her away. And I said, now that we've come out, you're really gorgeous. And she said, gee. And so she reached over and gave me a kiss, see? Now then, y'all understand where the disciples, so don't, none of y'all badmouth these disciples today, because every one of y'all bit this thing hook, line, and sinker. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from? Do we need to be taught to be reprogrammed to think right?
Yes.
And not negative. You know, I mean, we should look at the positive side of everything and not the negative, right?
Right.
Isn't that amazing? Now, these boys here, so let's go back to verse 11 or whatever it was then. And when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, they believed not. Isn't that something? Mary, I mean, she's flesh and blood. They know she's alive. And they know she's real. She's been with them all this time. The seven demons have been cast out of her by the master. And she comes running in there and says, boys, he's alive. He's not dead. I saw him. He's alive. And they said, you're crazy, woman. You're crazy. You see why we need to be trained the other way? We need to be trained as Christians to believe that with God, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
Because that scripture we had in John 15:7, if I abide in him, and some of you read that verse, if I abide in him and he abides in me, what can I ask for?
Anything.
Now, does the master mean that?
Yes, he does.
So you see, we're going to have to reprogram ourselves, are we not? We're going to have to reprogram ourselves. And next time that I say something about, well, you don't look any better, you're going to automatically think, wow, he's fixing to say how gorgeous she is. Is that the way you're supposed to think, Ms. Jackie?
Yes,
sir. Yeah, that's exactly what we're supposed to think. But how are we going to get to this point where we can get past where these boys were? Yeah, we're going to have to spend time with God in this word and read it and meditate on it and let it soak into our spirit. Because these boys believe not. Let's see what the next verse says, 12. See what verse 12 says. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Now, I don't know what that form was. I've looked up everything I can. All I know is he somehow he appeared to these guys walking down the road. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Well, this is a believing bunch, isn't it? It sounds kind of like us. Is that right? I mean, we are trained to think negative just like these boys have been trained. Why is it that we train our children to think negative? Why is it that everything we say is negative? You know, don't go out there in the rain. You'll catch your death of cold. I know none of y'all ever said that. Is that right, Miss Betty? Do we make those kind of statements? Why do we think so negative? That's a good question, isn't it? But we do. I think we as Christians need to get to the point where we can do what I did when I walked in that room and saw my granddaughter, when three of the finest doctors in the country said, we're sorry, sir, it's over. Instead of believing them, I believe what was written.
Amen.
When I said, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and he gave me a book that where he said he couldn't lie and that all of his promises were yes and amen. Some of you all know that. And so if I have a book that says, if I abide in him and he abides in me, I can ask him what I want to and he will do it for me. then gentlemen, I'm going to believe my Jesus instead of you guys. Now, you guys are standing here. I can feel you. I can touch you. I know you're real, just like I could touch Jack as a doctor. But if Jack told me my granddaughter fixing to die, he could have been one of those three doctors very easily. But I had to say, I don't believe what you say, sir. What you're coming to me from is probably within your scope of medical information that you have. But I live in a world of faith. I believe that my Savior, Jesus Christ, will raise my granddaughter up if I stand with no doubt in my heart. Is that what he said? And so everybody, even all my Christian friends, Thurman, I mean, you're taking this faith stuff just a little too far. You know she can't live. You know, three of the finest doctors in the country told you she can't live. So, you know, you can't just go there, Thurman. You know, you can't just do this. You know, it just don't work. Well, if it don't work, why did Jesus put it in the book? Why did he put it in the book? In other words, if he says, if I can believe with no doubt in my heart, he'll do it for me. Is that what he said?
Exactly.
I think about one time I went up to the Northeast and there was a pastor and his wife there, and I was teaching these principles at this church. He was just a visiting pastor. I didn't know. I was there about 3 days. After we left, his son had an accident on a motorcycle. And basically, he didn't get hurt near as bad as Caitlin did, but it tore his head all up. I mean, it really busted him up. And the doctor said, he's going to die. It's impossible for him to live the way he's damaged. He said, I took those same verses and I told God, I said, God, I've read those scriptures as a pastor, but I really never believed they were real. But he said, after hearing Thurman teach them and they work for him and his granddaughter, then you're no respecter of persons. If you did it for him, you'll do it for me. So he said, I stood on those promises through everything. When they told me your son's going to die, I said, no, I don't receive that. I'm standing on God's promises. He said, within a week, my son was out riding a motorcycle again. A week. The boy was out of high school riding a motorcycle. Somebody run over him, and technically he was going to be killed. But because he stood on God's promises, God raised up that boy, and he wrote me a nice long letter and said, Thurman, I'm so glad I came to that meeting. Because he said, if I hadn't, I wouldn't have my son today. He would be gone because I would not have believed. But because he did believe, God showed up and told it unto the residue, neither believe they them. So far, we're batting 1,000. Nobody's believing. Is that the way it is today? You know, do you think, just like I did y'all a while ago, I hate that I had to do y'all like that. But I wanted to prove a point. You know, when somebody gets hurt, somebody goes to the hospital. In fact, I remember a man over here at the Justin First Baptist Church. He was about 2 or 3 years older than me, and this happened 10 years ago. He got sick, had some problems, and they took him down to the Fort Worth to some hospital. I don't remember the name of it, but after 3 or 4 days, I heard he wasn't doing very well. And so all of his friends were old like me, you know, older. But I went down there one day when I heard he wasn't doing too well. I went in down there and I looked and I said, well, how's he doing? And they said, well, he's not doing too good. I said, when's the last time y'all prayed for him? I don't remember. I said, we got a friend down here that's maybe going to die and nobody's praying. I said, get out of the way. And I walked over there and I just first of all, I walked up to him and I said, brother, do you want to live or die? He said, well, I want to live, Thurman. I said, okay, then. I laid my hands on him and said, Father, I remit his sins in the name of Jesus. Now, I command these spirits of hell to come out of him according to Mark 16, 17, and 18. Now, you're healed, brother. I turned him loose and I said, y'all go back and do whatever you want to do. I got things to do, but I guarantee he's going to be out of the hospital, nothing flat. And the next day or two, they let him out of the hospital. And he called me when he got home and said, Thurman, praise God, something happened after you come and prayed. I said, yeah, Jesus showed up. Does Jesus show up for unbelief? No, he does not. He only shows up for belief. You know, and like I tell lots of people, if you want to walk here and you want to do this, you're going to have very few friends, even in the church. Amen. Because the church don't want to walk holy. Right. They don't want to do what God says. They want to do what somebody else wants them to do, or they want to do what they want to do, but I don't want to do what Jesus said. I mean, yeah, he made a set of rules, but that don't mean I have to follow them. Yes, if you don't follow them, you ain't going to have an enjoyable life, I can guarantee you. If you want to have a really good, enjoyable life, you do what Jesus says, starting out with accepting him as your Lord and Savior. Is that right? That's where we all of us had to start there, did we not? Every one of us made Jesus our Lord and Savior, and then from there on, he teaches us these things. Let's go to verse 14. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat or food, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of hearts, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. I wonder what he would say to the church today. You ever stop to think, what if Jesus walked in here and said, Master, what do you think about us? He might stop and say, you don't want to hear it. Is that right, Jack? In other words, he's reprimanded them tremendously, right? He is really reading them the right act. You boys are not doing what I told you to do. And, I mean, that's the church. I mean, well, let's look at the next verse and see what he told us to do after he talked to them about their unbelief. And he said unto them, now then, this is a new command I'm giving you. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, what did he tell, Kim, what did he tell you to do? In other words, that ain't when you said, but that's my pastor's job. No, that is your pastor's job, okay, but it's yours too, right? Amen. Scott, is that your job too?
Yes.
Everywhere you go, everybody you come in contact as a believer, you're supposed to tell them about Jesus, right? Yes. Pray for them, kick the devil out of them, do whatever, you know, and stand on these promises. And then let's see what else he tells us to do. Preach to every creature. You know, and I always thought when he says preach to every creature, somebody said, well, I have a problem being around other critters. I said, do it like I did. Go out there with a herd of cows. You know, you go out there and preach to them cows. Hey, let me preach the word. All they'll do is look at you and move once in a while. But they won't say nothing bad about you. They'll just eat grass and let you preach. You know, so you can get used to preaching the gospel to creatures. And you can't ever tell. I remember one time I was talking to a man in my Sunday school class. And I was teaching about demons. And how they do things, even how they get into animals. Because, see, I mean, the Scripture teaches us that, does it not? Yeah, I mean, we see that demons can get into animals, because we're going to see some of that today, maybe. But anyway, I told him, and he said, you know, wait a minute. He said, you mean you think that a demon could be in an animal? I said, I know so. It's in the Scripture. He said, you know, I never thought about this. He said, I got a great big dog, and said, that dog chews on my furniture all the time, just chews the wood. And said, I can't put anything in the house any good because it chews the legs, just chews. I said, well, sure, it's got a demon, no problem. He said, would you come out to my house this afternoon after church? I said, sure, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to cast that devil out of that dog. I said, well, you have that power. He said, you said I got to believe with no doubt. And he said, I don't think I can believe with no doubt. I said, okay, so I'll come out there. So I went out there. Pet the great big old dog, big old teeth. I laid my hand on his head and petted it a little bit, and then I just turned his little head around, looked him right in the eye, and said, you devil of hell, I have all authority and power over you in the name of Jesus. I command every demon of hell that's in this dog to come out and go to the abyss and never enter this dog again. I said, it's done, guarantee it. That dog will never eat another leg off another piece of furniture as long as it lives, in Jesus' name. About 2 weeks later, he was back in Sunday school class, and he said, Thurman, this is unbelievable. Now see there, you see what I mean? This is unbelievable. My dog hadn't chewed on nothing since you left. What is wrong with us? Do y'all understand? What is wrong with us? Now look, let's see what Jesus said. Let's just go on a little further here. After he said, preach the gospel, he says, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So anybody, I don't care who you are, I don't care whether you're red, yellow, black, or white, what color you are, what nationality you are, or nothing else. Anybody that believes that Jesus Christ died for you, he says you'll be saved. Is that what he said? All you got to do is believe. That's how easy it is. He made it the easiest thing in the world. And he that believeth and is baptized. Now, after you believe, you need to be baptized. And we're going to baptize three people here in a little bit. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, who wants to be damned into hell? I don't. I mean, there ain't nothing in the world worth dying and going to hell for. So anyway, then let's see what verse 17 says. After we do, he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Now then, if you are a believing believer, the first thing he says you can do, in my name you shall cast out devils or demons. Is that what he said?
Amen.
So you see where I was doing exactly what the Lord told me I could do when I cast that demon out of that dog? You know, I mean, and then again, 2 weeks later, when the guy came back to Sunday school, the first words out of his mouth were, this is unbelievable. You see why we can't give nothing, Karen? In fact, I will tell you, one night, we were still over at Dallas, and of course, the didn't have carpet on the floor over there. It had that black hard tile, and it was pretty slick. But there was a little girl come up to me after the service. Almost everybody had gone home. There was only a handful of people left. And she looked at me. She sat down in a chair. I thought, well, since he's sitting in a chair, I'll sit in. I just slid one of them chairs up there, right front, straight in front of her, just right straight across from her. I said, young lady, how can I help you? She said, well, I don't know really. She says, I've got something that just don't feel right in me. I don't know what it is. And I just thought, looked at her and I said, well, you know, let me tell you what your problem is. She said, what is it? I said, you got a demon. She said, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I said, Christian can have demons. There's no two ways about it. I said, absolutely, a Christian can have a demon. And I said, would you like to be free? I said, I have authority over those things. She said, I'd give anything if I could be free. I said, okay. I said, now I'm going to speak to that demon and command that beast not to manifest, because there are still a few people around. But evidently she had a sin in her life she had not quite repented of. And so when I looked at her right in the eye, and I had her by the hand, and she was just like a limp rag in my hand, I said, you devil of hell, come out of her in the name of Jesus. And when I did that, she turned like this and looked up like this, and her eyes just crossed and went black, and she screamed. And when she did, she jerked her feet up, like both feet, and she kicked my chair, hit the front rung on the chair I was sitting in right between my legs, and my chair sitting on a slick floor, it didn't move. Not even move. And her chair went backwards like this, and her body bent over and her hair slung out like this, and she hit the wall on the other side of the building. That's how hard she kicked. I jumped up and ran back there and grabbed her and said, you devil of hell, I remit this woman's sin. Now, I command every demon in her to come out and go to the abyss and never enter her again. And this time I said, it's done in Jesus' name. And I turned her around and I said, now woman, look at me. And she looked at me and I said, are you okay now? She said, what happened? I said, I just got you free of a demon. It's done. I said, you're free. The little gal, she said, wow. I said, I feel like a brand new woman. I said, I guess so. You know, when you get rid of them beasts. But the thing about it is, you know, I remember Keith and his wife. Their children were there that day. They had grown kids. So they're gone. But Keith and his wife was still there. And after it was over, they left. And after he talked to me a few minutes about this. He said, I'd give anything if my kids that have been here to seen this. He said, I have never seen a demon manifest in a human being in my life until tonight. He said, but I saw it. But he says, wow. So anyway, he said it was awesome. And so they left to go home. Well, his wife, they called us in about 30 minutes after they got home. And she said, Miss Cheryl, would you look under my chair that where I was sitting over? I think I left my purse. And so we looked, and sure enough, there was her purse. And so we said, well, we're coming home in a few minutes. We went right by their house on the way home. I said, we will bring your purse to you. So we got over there. And she said, you know, I've never seen anything like this. And she said, after you were casting that demon out of that poor little girl, she said, when we got ready to leave, I never dreamed about purse or nothing. I just walked out of there without nothing, you know, because she had never seen anything like this. Now then, what was the very first thing Jesus said would do happen to the believers? We will do what? We can cast out evil spirits. So, but you know how many people in the church believe that today? You know what the percentage probably is? 1/10 of 1%. I'd probably believe that. Most Christians have not spent enough time in God's Word to even realize that they have a demon. I mean, I didn't know this. I went to PhDs from seminaries. You know, I went to pastors. I asked all kinds of men of God, is it possible for me to have a demon? And you know what answer I got from every one of them? Oh, no, you're a Christian, Thurman. There ain't no way you could have a demon. So finally I asked the master. I said, Lord, is it possible for me to have a demon? And one night sitting in my study up there studying the Word of God, I came to Luke 13:11. Anybody know what Luke 13:11 says? Luke 13:11, let me show it to you right quick. Luke 13:11, we'll come back here to verse 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and this woman was bowed over together and could in no wise lift herself up. 18 years she walked around like that. Let's do surgery on her, Jack. Let's do surgery on her and loosen up whatever that is so she can stand up. So what was binding her over? A demon. an evil spirit. When I came to that and I read that, I heard the Lord speak to me audibly. He said, son, you have one of those living in your body. I said, Lord, I'm a Christian. You know, I've been told I can't have a demon. That's why I asked you. He said, well, you got one and that's it. You got that spirit of infirmity. I said, Lord, I got a spirit of infirmity. I said, Lord, that one was bowed over. I am not bowed over. I'm not sick. I'm not weak. So I said, what in the world is it? He said, it's your athlete's foot. I said, Lord, athlete's foot is a demon? He said, yes, son. And he said, in my name, you have authority over it. Was that good news? Yeah, so I could go back to Mark 16, 17 now. And he says, the first thing he said in Mark 16, 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall do what?
Cast out
spirits. I mean, I'm a deacon in a Baptist church. I'm a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church. I mean, I'm a man of God that's walking in obedience to God's word. I'd had this athlete's foot problem since I was a young man, teenager. Now, you know, no teenager ever does anything that'll open the door to let a demon in, right? Oh, y'all don't believe that, huh? You must have been like me. You must have sinned once or twice when you were a teenager, huh? I guarantee we've all sinned to open the door to these demons. But this beast came in. Now then, all these years I've had this thing. I mean, when I was in Vietnam, I almost lost those toes because I couldn't get to a place where we could get some medicine to doctor my feet. Finally did get there, the doctor. He told me, he said, son, if you hadn't got here about when you did, he said, if you'd have been out there many more days, he said, you would have probably have lost those toes. He said, they're just about gone too far to fix. But they begin to doctor them and everything, and in a few days they begin to get better. And of course, after I got back from over there, anytime I needed it, you know, I mean, I even had people tell me, you know, oh, it's just a fungus that's in the shower. You know, you're an engineer, you travel all the time, you sleep in different rooms every night. You know, you walk in the carpet, it's just a spirit, or not a spirit, but it's a fungus that you get from the carpet or from the shower. So I tried not to walk on the floor. I'd walk in my socks or on a fresh towel or whatever. I tried, but nothing worked. I still had it until the Lord told me I had an evil spirit, a spirit of infirmity living in my feet, and it was my athlete's foot, and that I had been given power over it, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name you shall cast out demons. So what do you think I did? I cast it out. That's exactly right I did. I mean, as a Southern Baptist, when I swung that chair around and put them feet out there with the boots still on them and looked down and said, you devils of hell, you spirit of infirmity, I command you to come out of me and go to the abyss and never enter me again in the name of Jesus. The average Southern Baptist would have really had a problem with that. But let me tell you what. You guess how many experiences with athlete's foot I've had since then?
Zero.
Never had another one. Never. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. But because of our unbelief, we just read over that and don't believe it means what it says. Right, Jack? That's so sad. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Well, I think it's time we all become believing believers instead of unbelieving believers. Don't you?
Amen.
We need to, if God said it, if he's the king of the church, and he is, then if he tells us what we can do as his children, we ought to at least believe the master, right? We should be able to believe the master. He says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall you cast out evil spirits or devils or demons. Now, there's really only one devil, but a whole lot of demons. And you shall speak with new tongues. Ain't nothing wrong with speaking with new tongues. Some people said, oh, that's of the devil. No, that's not of the devil. You know, it may be, there may be some out there that's speaking, and it may be coming from the devil. But I'll tell you what, that's a gift that's in God's word. So, you know, if you speak with tongues, and if you don't, ask him to give you the gift. Verse 18, see what verse 18 says. And they shall take up serpents. Now, that's the devil himself. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. I mean, you show me a Christian that gets some kind of a wrong injection in their body, you know, some kind of bad, whatever, or food poison or anything else. You tell me or show me a Christian that will know that verse, that will stand on that and expect themselves to be healed, and I'll show you a real spirit-filled Christian. Because most of them don't believe it. I tell you, the most awesome experience I had with that was right down here in this field. just right over here. I was over there building a fence. And I was putting a fence across there to partition the two pieces off so I could put cows on one side for a while and then the other side. And while I was building that fence, it was a hot day like today, and I had a short sleeve shirt on, gloves, hat. I'm out there trenching. I know that this country's got so much deep black soil that when you put a post in the ground, if you don't put something to anchor it, first time it comes a big rain, it'll pull the post out of the ground. So you got a loose fence. So I always trench at the end of the corner post, a 4-inch wide trench about 6 feet long, and then I put steel in it down to the bottom of the post, and then I pour all that full of concrete. So I got a big concrete wall there that holds it so it won't pull it out of the ground. And so I never had a problem with my fences pulling up. So I was trenching that across there, and that black soil, I trenched through a fire ant bed. Now, I mean, those little bitty tiny black ants, you can't see them in black dirt. So I'm down in there with my hands and knees, with my head on the grass, cleaning this hole out, which is that deep. I'm cleaning the hole out, and all the time I'm handling all these little ants. All of a sudden, my whole face, my neck, my arm, everything is on fire. And I thought, what in the world? I felt like you just poured hot gasoline on me or something. And I jumped up and I looked, and all of a sudden now I could see my arm was working alive with those little black ants. I jerked my right glove off and I throwed my right hand up and I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said in your word in Mark 16:18 that no deadly poison shall hurt me. I claim that right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And when I did that, boom, he blowed every ant off of me. There was not one ant, one sting, one mark left on my body. Amen. All I had to do was claim the promises of God. Who made me that promise, Jack?
Jesus.
Oh, he don't count, does he? He's only the CEO of the church, right?
He's the only one that does count.
Yeah, that's right. He's the only one that counts. Did he make us these promises? You know what I could have done if I'd have been a normal Christian that didn't have all this word in me? You know what I could have done? I could have died. With that much poison in my body, there was enough poison for a cardiac arrest. Is that right, Jack? It could very well have got enough poison in my body to have stopped my heart, and you would have found me out there laying in an ant bed with jillions of ants on me. But knowing the Word of God and the dominion and authority and power that we have been given as sons of God, I merely stood on the principles that Jesus had taught me, and he fulfilled it to the letter. And every ant left. I did not even have a whep on my body, not one. Any of you ever been outside and stepped in a fire ant bed and 4, 5, or 6 of them, 10 of them get on your foot and it leaves white little white webs all over the place, doesn't it? You don't have to. You don't have to. You've been given a promise right there that says no deadly poison will hurt you. Is that right?
Amen.
But you know, because of our unbelief. Is that what's wrong with us, Michael? Unbelief. Instead of spending time of learning how it works. I got tickled. Our radio went out in our car this last week, so I took it down to Mike and asked him if he'd fix it. So he put us a brand new radio in the car, and he brought it back today. I told him, I said, I want my old radio back. He said, what do you mean? I said, I can't even turn it on. It's got so many buttons on it and everything. Now I'm going to have to read up on this crazy thing from the other one. At least I knew how to turn it on. This one, I can't even turn it on. So I'm rebellious against learning new things sometimes. You know, doggone the luck. So I want my old radio back. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want my old radio back. I'm going to have to learn how the new one works. And, of course, he started telling me, it's real simple, just do this or do that. And I said, oh, okay. But see, a little bit of knowledge is a wonderful thing, isn't it? When it comes to God's Word, a little bit of knowledge is really a wonderful thing. If you believe these promises, look what he said there. And they shall take up serpents, if drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you know the average Christian? This is so sad. And maybe a lot of you, even in this room, may be like this. Anytime you get sick, instead of going and finding you a man or a woman of God to pray for you, the first thing that'll hit you is, I got to get to a doctor. Is that right, Jack? That's what we do. I mean, we've been taught we got to go to a doctor. But you don't have to go to a doctor. Yeah, you do have to go to a doctor, but you want to go to the best one. That's the whole thing. You want to go to the best doctor. Now let's see what the next line says here. Let's see what he says here in verse. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Where is he today? At the right hand of God. He's never changed since this position right here. So if these people believed what he said and did what he said, let's see what he did in verse 20 after he'd been caught up to the right hand of the Father. Verse 20, let's see what that says. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Will he do that for us today?
Yes.
Absolutely. If we walk in faith, nothing wavering today, just like he did then, he will do the same things for you and I today, because many of you in this room, many of you, in fact, let me just ask for a show of hands. How many of you in this room as Christians has prayed for yourself or your mate or your children or something and seen God do some kind of a healing or a miracle or whatever for your children? Wow, look at that. That's almost everybody in the whole place. Wow. So what does that mean we ought to be out doing then? We ought to be out teaching those that don't know, right? I mean, if we pray and God does those kind of things for us, and I literally believe it was almost not a hand showing. I mean, that wasn't up. Almost everybody in here has seen God do some kind. And I'll tell you what, more than likely, if I were to sit down here and say, okay, I'm going to draw my little table up here, and I'm going to get my notepad out, and I want each one of you to come up and tell me all the different things God's done for you, I think we'll probably still be here tomorrow. You know that? Because many of you have got many stories. I mean, many of you have told me many stories. You know, so there ain't no telling how many things we, just in this little church, have seen God do in answers to prayer. But he does good things, does he not? So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to get rid of this unbelieving devil?
Yes.
Are we going to start believing the Lord?
Yes.
Next time I ask y'all, well, she didn't look any better after she ate that chicken. What are y'all going to think I'm going to say, Raphael? You know what I'm going to say, don't you? I'm going to say, wow, she was gorgeous. She was gorgeous before she ate that chicken. She's gorgeous after she eats that chicken. And I was so tickled the other day, but when Kelly and Sharon was both in there, when I made that statement, I said, you know, we went out and had chicken, and I said, after Cheryl come out, and she said, boy, I feel so good after eating that chicken. I said, well, you don't look any better. Sharon and Kelly both, and I said, I told her she was gorgeous before and she was gorgeous after, and Kelly went, oh, that's so sweet. But the thing about it is, we got to get to the point where we think positive all the time, never negative. Is that right, Mary? We need to always think positive, never negative. And if we think positive all the time, the things that you think are going to come to pass. Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that right?
Yeah.